No, we need to do it in like a chorus. There's three of us. We need like a barbershop quartet. So like,
oh my god, shit, yeah, right. So we all have to do the hello when you're like not sure if it's Lionel Richie or Adele.
I was about to, can you hear me?
I was thinking more like hello, hello, hello.
Oh lads, I fucked up.
Already?
Yeah,
you already fucked
USB.
Up.
My USB. I already fucked up. I have to start again. You keep going. I'll save this. I'll pause. I'm going to
save
this.
Did you plug it out?
Start again. Where is this going? Stop,
did
you
just
bastard.
The same thing happened, didn't it? For our listeners, we did in fact have Pee Wee Part 3 recorded last week. Or so we thought. But then somehow, in the mystical world of Quiva, she managed to only record 23 minutes of it. And so we lost that entire episode. So we are here now again to bring Pee Wee Part 3 back to you.
Part 3, Part 2.
Part 3, Part 2. Exactly. Part 3, Take 2. We need one of those, like, things.
The little, like,
this
that's
is
your penance.
Then technically...
For making us record.
Part 3, Take 3. Because you fucked up again.
I feel
fucked
like
up.
My penance was crying in work today. But, I mean...
Why were you crying to Mark?
There was a sad old man. Old people, I...
Was he just, like, sad
no,
in general?
He came in,
like, or
right,
did he have, like, a sad story?
He was coming in, lovely old man, but he was really early for his appointment, so I said, you'd have to go away for, like, 40 minutes, because we can't let extra people in until... You know, we can't let people in until the time of
yeah.
the appointment, like, obviously.
Rona yeah.
times, etc. So he said, all right, and he went away to get a cup of tea, and he came back, and... Before he left, actually, he showed me a picture of his wife when she was young in a picture with John Lennon.
Oh!
Yeah, very random.
What?
Yeah. Cool. I know, right? So I was like, unreal. I don't really appreciate the Beatles as a lot of people would, because I wouldn't be a massive fan of them. But I can understand that it's cool as fuck at the same time. So
yeah.
He had been talking to the receptionist and he was like, oh, tell her that I'm here. I want to show her the picture, because he'd been telling her about it on the phone. And I went up and told her, and she was like, oh, you know, he's such a nice old guy, but his wife is really sick. And I was like, oh, no. She was like, yeah, he seemed really sad on the phone. And I was like, yeah, you know, I was like, I said, I knew that I could tell that he wanted, you know, when you can tell when someone just wants to talk to someone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I couldn't, because we were kind of busy. So I was kind of like, I had to kind of cut it off when I would have liked to continue talking to him just for his own sake. Plus, he was cool.
Yeah.
Anyways, I went on my break, came back, and he was leaving. He'd finished his appointment, and he was going out the door, and he showed me the picture again, and he was like, oh, hung out with John Lennon for like 45 minutes that day, and he was like, it was the best day of our lives, blah, blah, blah. He recited a poem that he'd written off the top of his head, and when I tell you, no, I swear, lads, I'm actually getting chills, this is going to set me off again. That he'd written, and I swear to God, this shit was better than something fucking Seamus Heaney would have written. Like, it was beautiful, and it was like about his wife. And I had in my head that the wife was fucking sick, and I was like, oh my God, hold this shit together, Kiva. Like, it's okay, huh? And every time I thought the poem was ending, there was another more beautiful line after it, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna fucking pass out. So that was fine. And then he jumped straight into a second poem, which was even more fucking sad and beautiful in the first one, and I was like, I'm actually, this isn't funny. And I could see him starting to tear up, because he was obviously reminiscing about this woman.
No.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Stop. No.
Yeah. No. Oh my good God. And then he kind of was like, oh, when I can see people, oh my God. And there was one poem that he was like, I only read this to beautiful people. And he was like, when you, and he was like, I want you to go home and look, oh my God. And this poem was gorgeous. It was like about like how you're the brightest star and everything. And he was like, I wrote this for my wife, but like, I only ever recite it for people who I think like will appreciate it. And I was like, oh my fucking God, I'm gonna fucking die.
Aww.
And then he ended it, he was like, when I can see people getting a bit too, like, serious, he was like, he fucking recited a poem about a woman wearing a lovely dress, but he knew she'd no knickers on underneath, that she was a little, you know, slushy or whatever. So I was like, ha ha. So he left. Turns out he'd actually gone outside to speak to the receptionist. She'd come down to speak to him. He actually started crying outside, which I knew he was fucking upset, because I could see it in his face.
The wife is dead.
Stop it, no.
She's
please,
not dead.
Please,
she's just very unwell.
Bad. Oh, she's not dead. Okay.
Oh, thank God.
I thought you were going to end this with, like, it turns out the wife was actually dead already.
No, so I could feel myself starting to crumble. Okay? I could feel it.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it was coming. But I was like, okay, there's a man here who needs to be brought in for it. So I brought him in. I asked him, you know, the questions that he hasn't been exposed to COVID, blah, blah, blah. And my voice started kind of, like, cracking. Thank God he was Polish, because I was like, maybe he just thinks I can't talk properly. So I brought him in and I sat him down. I went into the back room and I just started crying. And one of the girls came in, she was like, are you all right? And I was like, not really, TBH. And she was like, okay, I'll give you a minute. And I was like, okay, I thought I was fine. Thought I collected myself. I went into the room to put on a new apron and I started sobbing. And she was like, are you all right? And I was like, no. And she was like, are you laughing? And I was like, no. And then she went and got someone else, like one of the other girls. And she was like, come in here and look at Kiva. It's hilarious. Because I started laughing then because I was like, what the fuck? Like, because I don't cry really.
Oh,
like,
crapping.
Okay. I thought she was like, laughing at you. I was
come
like,
look at Kiva cry.
Do you work with?
She kind of was laughing at my misery, but it was funny as well because it was so like random.
I'm like, I'm bitch. But my soul has literally just been destroyed by a series of beautiful fucking poems.
I had to do that whole, like, lean self. Up against the wall with one hand, like, bend over at the waist, contain myself, cry. Like, I was really struggling.
If you had a shower in work, you would have had to, like,
I would have had to sit down. Yeah. It was one of those cries. Yeah. Like, I was really...
Exactly. Knees to the chest, sobbing
like,
to the ether.
Hysterical. Like, I'm laughing, but am I laughing or am I just hysterical? I don't know. So I'm probably going to think about that man for the rest of my life.
I mean, I feel like you're v emotional lately. Do we need to like get you a pregnancy test?
Oh shit, I'm not ready to be an auntie. Like I am, listen, but like
Savannah,
don't make me a grandmother, Quiva. I can't jinx you if you've already done the deed, Quiva. It's
like, don't start. I'm not.
I can't hocus
no.
pocus. You're fucking.
I am. I've gotten
pregnant now.
Maybe it's the motherhood raising a dog and a cat.
It's the motherhood raising a child in your stomach currently.
Yeah,
please take
I'm
a pregnancy
very
test.
Fucking, like,
you are.
I'm very sensitive.
You're crying all the time. I'm like concerned like, now because look, it's been going on for too long.
No, but I'd be crying at movies all the sensitive. Time, anyways. I just don't really tell you about it.
No, Kriva. No, you have been overly emotional. But look, if you want to, you know, delete his fetus, that's cool too. Like, we will stand by you if that's what you choose to do. If you are indeed,
I appreciate it.
But yeah, again, if you want to pop a sprag out, we will equally be there for you.
Oh God,
just
both options.
And also,
awesome.
We'll slag you for the next 6 to 9 months, depending on how far along you are.
Oh God.
Yeah.
So
you won't be making fun of me and my gammy ankles anymore, and yours will be fucking swollen.
Oh my God, I'll have kankas to fucking. Oh my God, don't even start.
You and your gammy milk sacks.
Oh my God.
Yeah. For some reason, that just reminded me of the other way the Canadians have, like, milk in a bag, or is it the Alaskans?
Oh my God.
And I don't know why.
I think it's Canadians. Or probably both, actually. Yeah. I feel like Alaska definitely has milk in bags.
I think it is Alaska, because then I'm like, oh my God, when you said that, then I was like, that's what their implants are. And it was a very weird... It was a weird disconnect that I had.
I feel like they're not sterile or surgically safe. So.
I mean, probably not, but shut up. People might want titties in a crisis, who knows?
Oh my God, this is probably the most wonderful spiral we've ever had on this fucking podcast. What a way to start us off.
What a way. Yeah.
Just to bring your mood back up and maybe get you over the baby blues, I heard a story this week that I would like to share with y'all because I found it fucking hilarious.
Okay.
I'll give you the short version because I cannot remember where it happened. Or if your man's name was given, I don't think it was. But basically, there's this guy. Now, I think he may have done injectable drugs already. But
I know what you're
going to
say.
Schizophrenic as well. Do you know this story?
He probably doesn't.
So I'll tell it anyway. So this man thought it would be a great idea to do some shrooms. Nothing against shrooms. They make you see yourself, have a conversation with yourself, all of that stuff. Haven't done them myself. Yet, hope to at some point. But the way not to do shrooms is how this man did it, which was he brewed it into a tea and then injected it directly into his fucking bloodstream.
Ew!
Oh, Creep, I get
yeah.
so much worse. Hold the ew.
It gets so much worse.
That is so disgusting.
So, yeah, it's more than that though, because it's lethal. It's very dangerous because you're not meant to do that. And as we know about fungi, they thrive in dark, moist places.
Ew!
I'm sure what's darker or moister than your bloodstream. he started turning into a fucking shroom. Yep, he literally, the mushrooms started growing in his blood, in his veins.
Ew!
Isn't that fucking
horrifying?
Where would
they,
horrifying?
Like, where would
that
they,
is
oh,
horrifying
suppose,
though.
But where would they get light? Do mushrooms need, or like, do they need any light at all? No? Probably not.
Sure, no, you can find mushrooms growing in caves. Fucking throwback to that
poem. Was that bastard who wrote the poem about the shed with the mushrooms?
The most two random words I've ever heard. Honestly. Like,
the shed with the
mushrooms. Yeah, there's a... I'm pretty sure there's a poem.
Probably
about
your man who wrote a fucking poem about watching a raccoon like a pervert thinking about his wife bending over, picking her knickers up out of the door.
What the fuck was that? Wait, what was that? No, I remember. I feel slightly traumatized. Like, I'm regressing. What the fuck was this? I remember we were in school.
Yep. It was a big pervert poem. It was why we were in school.
A disused shed.
It was a WBH because he was a fucking pervert.
Fucking Derek Mahon. I think it might have been. Disgusting man. No shade, but like, ooh, I hated his poetry.
I think was it actually called The Voyeur? No, it wasn't called The Voyeur. Was it?
Possibly was The Voyeur.
I just remember Christy Boot trying to explain to us what the word voyeuristic meant. Like, trying to say, like, yeah, dirty pervert without trying to say a dirty pervert.
Oh, I know the poem you're talking of. Heaney, the skunk. He fucking compares a skunk to his wife.
That was it.
Is it Heaney? Fucking Heaney.
I'm so disappointed in Seamus. I was expecting it from Yates just because he's like,
I couldn't stand Yates. I did not like him.
But wasn't it? Was it not Heaney that fucking wrote the poem about his dad drowning puppies or kittens as well?
What?
Yeah, it was.
Does that on the fire cycle?
And the poem about his little brother being in a 4 foot casket, a foot for every year.
Oh, the box. Yeah. Oh, that was fucking horrendous.
That is one of the most depressing poems I've ever read in my life.
Your head up, head down, tail up, hunt in a bottom drawer for the black plunge line nightdress. Okay.
Seamus, stop it.
Imagine this and two very suicidal bitches, Sylvia Plath and the other lesbian.
Emily Dickinson was my shit.
Emily Dickinson.
Oh my God. I read the shit out of her stuff. I loved her. With the little dramatic like commas and stuff. The dramatic hyphens and things. I was like,
sorry. Are you okay, Lizzie?
You're like, the two depressing are suicidal bitches and the other lesbian. I don't know why they just made me laugh. It was so funny.
Oh, I love
her. They were. Oh, good God. I preferred them to, like, Yates and fucking Shaheeny, to be honest, because they were depressing and pervy.
At least Emily had a little bit of flair to her, a little bit of drama. Yeah. Sylvia was just like, let me be sad.
I want to stick my head in an oven, and then I did stick my head in an oven.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, like,
Derek Mahon
like,
was the same. He was just miserable, and he gave me the heebie-jeebies, and I never even know what I don't even know what the man looked like.
We can no longer spiral about leaving cert fucking poetry.
That is very
but
true.
Alas, yeah, so there you go. You started that off, Guiva, you fucking lunatic with your mushrooms in a shed.
Oh, yeah.
You literally said about a fucking poem about the mushrooms.
How did I?
I'd be forgetting how the tangents start. I don't mean to start them.
It's almost always with
you. Always you.
But alas, yes. So your man spent 22 days in hospital, but apparently he's fucking fine now.
Oh, yeah.
But he was legit turning into a magic mushroom.
How
so,
the fuck?
There you go.
I'm shook. Where did they get the oxygen from and everything? Probably the blood.
The blood?
Well, obviously, Guiva, like,
we're made of it.
Like delivered by post.
Ooh, I know, obviously. But you'd think, like, then that in that case, they'd be able to grow underwater and stuff. Can they? Like underwater, submerged. I don't mean like
yeah, there's
wet.
there's plenty of strains of mushroom that grows underwater.
Oh. Okay, well you learn something new.
But alas, lad, it has in fact been 16 and 33 minutes. So
16 and 33 minutes. That just sounded
I forgot how to say time. I literally forgot how to say time.
Yeah, I was like
16 minutes 33 seconds. I would like to formally announce my retirement as of this moment. I no longer have a brain and the podcast has
That's
killed
long
me.
Gone.
The last scraps of it have just given up on me. Moving forward, we should really get on with why we're here, which is to talk about the end of our dear tiny, tiny friend, Pee-wee Gaskins. Let's dive in.
Okay, so this episode is basically about the beginning of the end for Pee-wee. Well, no, it's not. It's about the end of Pee-wee. But I'm starting at the beginning of the end, okay?
The beginning of the end to then final or finish with.
Yeah, okay.
The final of the end.
So.
The final of the end.
So, in 1975, law enforcement officers... Oh, I have a fucking slur and it's going to get... Okay.
What did law enforcement officers do?
Wait, did you say a slur? Who are you being, like, some sort of phobic
she,
to?
She has a slur.
What?
You just said, I have a slur. You just said, I have a slur.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, you are, like, not slurring over your words, but you're saying, like, I have a slur, as if you're going to call somebody, like, an offensive name. And I was like, what sort of phobic are you being?
No, I would just... Okay, stop. Leave me alone.
Is there a word for, like, small people phobic?
Ooh. It definitely is. People who are scared of short people. Look it up there now. Okay, so in 1975, law enforcement officers in Charleston County started to suspect Pee-wee of his crimes. They were investigating the disappearance of a 13-year-old North Charleston girl. Her name was Kim Gelkins, and they discovered that she had been at Pee-wee's home before her disappearance. Okay.
What was she doing in Pee-wee's house?
Yeah, I mean, do you know what I mean? I definitely is like he's one of those weird cunts, even though like
ye trying to pretend that you don't already know. Like
no, there's 0% chance if she was doing that, she went willingly. She was not like, ooh.
No, I didn't mean it like Pee-wee. That. Ew. Oh my fucking
if anything,
God.
Like he was one of those weirdos that was like, even though he didn't drink himself, like, oh yeah, I have plenty of drink back at my house. Do you want to come impression
yes.
a 13-year-old? And she's like,
yeah.
Oh my God.
You wanna
yeah.
come smoke some weed?
So Kim's family were immediately suspicious of Pee-wee, as Kim had been seen out with him multiple times before she disappeared. I'm not sure if they had seen her with him. I presume, and I'm hoping not, I presume it's more a case of that after she went missing, people who had seen her with him told them that she had been with him. That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah.
I would hope so, because yeah. otherwise that is severe neglect
yeah.
and not to victim.
Who's willingly
them,
letting
you know.
Their child pal around with a
yeah.
known rapist, definite paedophile, him with 17-year-old brides. You know, it's not a good...
No. You, anyone
I feel
would
like,
want them, their
but,
child or family member not to be with someone like that. What's presumed to have happened is that Pee-wee and Kim were hanging out, meeting up or whatever, and he basically made advances on her, that he was trying her, and she rejected him. Because obviously...
Obviously.
Which, and these rejections would have made him feel bothersome and peculiar, which were not feelings that Pee-wee really enjoyed feeling. So
Pee-wee.
He would have acted out of anger and spite and everything else, and would have ended up...
Pee-wee, we're getting heavy again.
Ew.
Pee-wee, you got
you
me
need
feeling
to have
out. Peculiar. Pee-wee, aren't you feeling a bit bothersome, my friend? Crack the bitch in the skull with a hammer. Fight her,
please.
Baby. Bite her nose
for
off.
For the Instagram post, I wanted to be a picture of Winnie the Pooh saying, oh, bother, and then Pee-wee's face photoshopped on.
I thought you were going to say a picture of, like, two testicles of mine and Lizzie's face photoshopped on.
I mean, we can do that too.
We'll gladly do that either.
I mean, yes.
They can be...
But only if you were absolutely fine with your head being the helmet of a dick. Because you seem to forget, Cueva, you were meant to be Pee-wee's boner all this time.
Yeah.
You just haven't delivered,
you
quite
were meant
frankly.
To be the rhino shaft, and not once.
Rhino shaft, and the size of the man.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yes.
I remember his 4 foot fucking... She made me feel like a 4 foot rhinoceros penis or something along the lines
okay,
of that.
Okay, can I get back to the fucking story about this girl who got murdered in the woods? Okay.
No, the fuck you can't.
You have to
okay,
be the
fuck
shaft.
You. What
I
is this, the podcast?
One line.
Oh, I'm 4 foot long today.
That was so embarrassing. You should be ashamed of yourself. You're
I
never
didn't ever want to be a fucking penis. Sorry. Okay.
But the way you're kind of angled okay. now, because the way you have your hair pulled back, I'm not saying that you look like a bell end. I'm just like, I'm making a connection that may or not be there.
That like, it kind of works. Like if the shoe fits type thing.
Yeah,
exactly.
But now I'm imagining a helmet with fucking nostrils, and that's just disturbing. Let's move on with murder.
And they just have a nostril instead.
And they always have a runny nose. Moving forward. We need to stop recording late. We go a bit fucking spare.
Pee-wee was feeling bothersome and peculiar after Kim rejected him. Like, I mean, I don't know what he expected. She was 13 and he was a creepy old man. But anyways.
Say it with your chest.
Yeah. Yeah, but like, I mean, from her perspective, he would have been a creepy old man. Also a pedophile, obviously, but, you know.
Yeah.
It's much more...
pedophile.
From his perspective, he's like, but I am a stud. Why forever would a woman reject me?
That definitely is not what he sounded like, and that's what's so funny about it. So.
Sorry.
But I am a stud. Why forever would a woman reject me?
That's definitely what he sounded like.
Oh my god, wait. No, you fucking sounded like, what's the little one from Bob's Burgers? Not Tina. Louise. Is it Louise? The one with the hat?
Yes.
You sounded like
Louise. I am Louise. I take it. I'm full of that compliment. Thank you.
You're fine.
And I can't say this sentence after we've just joked about being a penis.
Well, you have to, so...
Pee-wee drove Kim out to the woods where he is said or presumed to have raped and strangled her, and then is thought to have buried her in his secret cemetery that he had in the woods, or in the little, like, wooded area.
I can understand why that sentence was difficult to say after the peeing jokes, but well done.
Yeah.
So... like, obviously, the woods would have been close enough to his house, I'm assuming, and then, like, close enough to...
They were in
the burial ground.
If I'm remembering correctly, his woods, the wooded area, was in north or south Charleston. And he had, if I'm remembering right, Savannah said that he had some sort of...
A trailer
in that area. So,
yes, indeed.
Yes.
Whether it was a case that was his midway place, and he'd go there... with the bodies, kind of set up shop and then head off with them, you know, or if it was a case he'd go,
most likely,
you know, that he'd go straight from where he got killed them, buried them, and then went back there to kind of like recuperate.
Because remember as well, he put in time with all of his families, like within all of this, he's going around, he's murdering, he's raping, he's doing all of that, breaking up cars and all that crack. He is putting in time with all of his, every single child he made, he spent time with, which is crazy. Like, all the wives he left, he didn't just completely up and abandon them. He did go back and visit, like, which is nuts. So he had plenty of, like, chance to be up and down the gaff. Like, oh yeah, I'm just visiting this family, visiting that family, staying in Charleston, going to...
That's so true.
Fucking...
Yeah, so,
like,
he...
They're not going
wasn't...
to fucking keep in contact, like, do you know what I mean? Like,
not even that, but was he using them as alibis as well?
Exactly. Exactly that.
Of course, yeah.
And his alibi pub was up in Charleston as well, as far as I remember.
That he was like, oh, sure, I couldn't have been sure. I was with these on this day. And they'll say, yeah, he was. Do you know?
Yep.
And then he has an alibi.
Tiny cunt had it figured out. He really did.
Yeah. So the police are thought to have known, like, they would have known that he had something to do with it, because she obviously was seen with him before he went missing. And at the same time, when they searched his apartment or house or whatever, they found clothes that she owned. Whether it was clothes that she was wearing on the day that she went missing, I'm not sure, or if it was clothes that she'd brought with her and that she was, like, had been spending enough time there that she needed to have a spare set. Do you know what I mean?
Creepy.
So, I think the police knew.
I hope to God that she wasn't spending a lot of time there, the fact that she would have needed clothes. Just, like...
Like, imagine, like, old Pee-wee cleared out a drawer for me. He's so romantic.
No.
Right, do you know what I mean? Yeah. She has a spare toothbrush in his house and stuff. That just makes me very uncomfortable.
Yeah, I know. Those are my kind of two theories. Is that she? They're my kind of two theories. Anyways, I don't know.
Yeah.
So the police probably, they fucking knew what was going on. Like, he had a name for himself. This young girl has gone missing. Like, it's very much his MO. But they wouldn't have had enough evidence to follow through on actually convicting him for anything, because first of all, she was never she wasn't found. Like, her body wasn't found to charge him, so it was impossible.
No body, no crime.
It was impossible to charge him with any murder or anything, because they didn't know if she was even after being killed. So he was charged with contributing to the delinquency of a minor, which was basically aiding a minor in running away and helping her evade the police force and her family.
Isn't that great that they just knew, like, they had to get him on something?
Yeah, like...
Yeah, it's kind of
that. So they got him with the...
Because when you say it like that, it sounds like the most bullshit charge you've ever heard of in your life. But in that context, it makes sense. Because if that's the only way they're going to, like, nail him for it. Because, like you said, no body, no crime.
Yeah.
You have to do something.
Because, like, and a similar thing that we can't mention names here, but we know a story that happened there, like the end of 2019 for me, where some family members got beat up by a particular prick. And since they weren't willing to press charges on him, the police got him on disturbance of the peace instead, because they hated him so much that they wanted to charge him with something anyway.
Yeah.
So because, like, the people who got beat up wouldn't press charges for assault, they got him on disturbance of the peace. And I was like, you know what?
Nice one.
Isn't that fucking great?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I could see it's like the same thing, obviously much less because no one's missing or dead in that situation. But, like, I like that police are willing to do that kind of stuff.
Well, yeah. The thing is, like, that a lot of them as well would have had kids like her age. And, like, I know that shouldn't be, like, the only reason for doing the fucking job. But, like, I feel like
but it'll definitely motivate you more.
A lot more.
Yeah.
Because, like, you're going to go home and, like, look at your own kid.
Yeah, he was targeting young people. And it's, like, it's so... Yeah, I feel like that really probably angered...
Nothing pisses people off more than
that. Yeah, exactly. Going home to your own kid and being like, that could have been... you.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Could have been her. Yeah.
So...
Or him, because Pee-wee didn't fucking discriminate between age, gender, or fucking race, apparently, so...
Yeah, true. So, Pee-wee was arrested on November 14, 1975, and he was indicted for contributing to the delinquency... I can't say that. To the delinquency of a minor. So, he was in jail for that, but he was also charged with stealing cars. So...
Yeah.
While he was in jail for those two... Authorities found that several other missing people were either family of his or knew him. And the North Charleston police chief at the time, his name was L.E. Simmons. And he said the investigation revealed that a lot of people connected seemed to have dropped off the face of the earth, but there was a common thread that ran between them all. So he was drawing parallels and connecting the dots where all these people had gone missing and they all seemed to be linked to him in some way or another.
Mm-hmm. So when you say that, I picture fucking what's your Charlie Lee? You know, it's always so Charlie Philadelphia, and he's the red string and he looks absolutely like crazy eye trying to explain like this thing to people.
Definitely
Penny Sylvia, who the fuck is Sylvia?
Who the fuck is Penny?
Pennsylvania. Charlie can't read.
Oh,
Savannah.
I think I blacked out there for a second because I thought Quiva was starting another like victim, and I was like, who the fuck is Penny Sylvia?
Okay, so
I don't remember this.
By this stage, the State Law Enforcement Division, also known as SLED, S-L-E-D, very cool name, they had been called into the case of Kim Gelkins, who was still missing. So Pee-wee was in jail for basically helping her run away, and they were still investigating her missing persons case because she obviously hadn't been found. So yeah. Tom Henderson was the captain of SLED, and he was assigned the case.
Tom Henderson.
Yeah. So Walter Neely was known, obviously, to be a close contact of Pee-wee's. And he was
It's a close contact.
Oh, you're right. Pretty fucking close. That's as close as you can get, I think.
So there was. I saw two different things. One was that a minister actually convinced that Walter actually went to him and confessed, and he convinced Walter to offer himself up. But also the other one.
So was it a case of like he was just in church one day and it was kind of like a confessional, like he went into the confession box and was like,
oh my
bless
God.
Me Father for I have sinned, or is he kind of have like a meltdown moment and just like barged into the church?
I don't know, all I know was that a minister, I saw two different things, and one of them was that a minister had convinced him to go in and confess.
What we'll do is we'll play it in our heads
that it was a Father Ted
which
moment.
One is the better like movie opportunity, and then go with that one.
And
despite what the truth is,
you know those real old-timey southern pastors that are like, and the Lord says you must tell the truth at all times. And Walter's like, fuck, I gotta tell the truth.
Yeah.
And he stands up in the middle
of
church and he's
Jesus
like,
compelled him.
Oh! Yeah. And he gets taken and he's speaking in tongues and everything. Yeah.
I have bore witness to terrible crimes, Father, you must absolve me of my sins. And he's like, you are forgiven, my child, just speak of the truth.
Yeah.
And then Walter went to
the
police.
You're good at religion talk.
This is not what happened at all.
In the movie adaption, in our heads, where we played the winos.
Mm-hmm.
This so, is what happens.
We're the three drunk bitches in the back of the church just fanning ourselves. Just like, amen, sister, amen.
Hallelujah. So, the other option is that Walter was just being questioned as a close contact of Pee-wee's and he being extremely mentally, like, disabled, basically. That he, not even mentally, I don't think he was disabled, more a case of just, like, deficient.
Mentally deficient?
Yeah, but I don't know,
bordered on mental retardation. Is that even, are we even allowed to say that anymore? I don't know how to say it anymore.
That's why I'm struggling.
Is that still the proper term?
Okay, straight up, really bad. We're not trying to say these words that are, like, if they're offensive, we just don't know the proper terminology, but...
He had a very low IQ.
Yeah.
We'll just say he wasn't the brightest crayon in the box. That's people
exactly.
He
was straight up like mud brown.
We're trying to like not offend people.
Try not to be offensive.
I'm not even trying to be bad.
After we've agreed that this was an like, amicably like okay thing
fuck
to say
him as well. Like, he
like,
straight up let watch
he is
people get
mud brown.
No, I'm not a fan of Walter either.
He was a wee bit Forrest Gumpy. That's what we'll say.
Okay, that's not much better. So, Walter confessed to police that Pee-wee had confided in him that Pee-wee had killed several people, all of which had been listed as missing persons during the previous 5 years, and that Pee-wee had also told him where they had been buried. Tom Henderson, the chief of SLED, said, "We talked several times to an associate of Gaskin's named Walter Neely, and he told us he didn't know anything. Finally, he said that Pee-wee had told him he'd killed some people and had his own private graveyard." Okay, so Walter admitted being present when two of the victims were murdered. So he ended up leading officers to the graves of Dennis Bellamy and John Henry Knight. The police obviously had been led to Pee-wee's private graveyard.
Yeah.
So digging began Thursday, December 4th, 1975 I just realised how fucking cold they must have been digging.
Yeah, like...
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, that's such, that like, it doesn't like matter, but that would have been, and the ground would have been fucking rock hard as well.
Yeah. It's more that the ground might have been probably frozen, and that's horrific, like, because you're going to work up a sweat anyway if you're digging constantly, so at least, you know, the cold wouldn't bother you.
Yeah.
The cold doesn't bother me anyway.
I'm going to tell you something, right, and it's not a bit traumatising, but to say, my great granny, right, we had to bury her in, like, obviously we had to bury her because she died, but I think it was, like, when we had that bad, like, winter time, not the one that just passed, to the one that was in like 2000, mm-hmm. we'll say like 12-ish, no, 14, no, after that. Anyway, I would have been about 14. Remember we had that really, really, really bad snap? It was like torrential. Like it was disgusting. Like everything just went to shit.
Think so?
Yeah, I think they had to get like a mini digger in to like help dig the hole because like of how solid the ground was. Like the shovels like wouldn't cut it. I'm nearly
Holy
sure
shit.
Like. That was right. So if it's like similar and those hooers didn't have that to like dig up Pee-wee's graveyard, I can only imagine the strife that they went through. Just
as
a personal anecdote.
It's not like it's not like they would have been able to bring in diggers or anything, first of all, because they'd be too like
exactly
big and like they'd have, but also it was in like a wooded area. They'd never get anything in between the trees.
Yeah, they'd have no path to get it in. I was just about to say the same thing.
And it's not like you can just fucking hack away with like a pickaxe or something because you're trying to get the bodies out of the ground like in some decent shape.
Yeah,
like.
A solid piece. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So they're just hi-hoing their way through the fucking frozen ground. That's horrific.
Yeah, so the digging began Thursday, the 4th of December 1975 in a wooded grove near a ploughed cornfield at Prospect, fertile farming country. Halfway between Lake City and Johnsonsville. So I looked it up on maps and it's like up the coast, like it's up past Georgia. Like it's on, the, like it's for Irish people, it's near Florida. Okay? It's on like the east coast, up towards New York, kind of. That was a very fucking vague description.
Is that not a thing? There's
like
the Georgia Florida line. Or I'm probably not saying that properly, but it's like
it's further north than that, but yeah. It's in that area, like. Florida general area that as Irish people would think
of
America.
Didn't even realise that Carolina was near Florida, so there you go.
It's not that close. Like, in Irish terms, it's probably fucking 8 Irelands away. But, like, American terms, like, it's pretty close,
there we go.
You know?
Carolina and Florida are 8 Irelands apart.
That's our new unit of measurement now.
It's only like probably half an island away. Probably take you only like 2 hours, 2 or 3 hours to drive from Florida, from Jacksonville to South Carolina.
Can we just say, why are we taking directional advice from the person who gets lost the regular? So yeah.
No, I'm good at, like, I have a good sense of direction, but I do fuck up on buses because I get too complacent. I will admit that I'm not good on public transport, but I do have a good sense of direction.
Your excuse for no. No, you don't, but anyway,
yes, I do.
Quiv, you're not a compass. Continue. This isn't important.
You're the one who... Oh, don't, please. You're the one...
No, we had this conversation that Americans are a lot better at directional shit than we are. Oh, they 100%. They always seem
to pour things in. Yeah. I'm more mean, like, than if someone was... If I got lost in the woods, like, I'd be okay at finding my way out on some level. Anyways,
you definitely wouldn't. None of us would. Don't lie to yourself lie to us.
Guys, this isn't fair. I actually none swear, of us would me survive, and my Prima. Class in secondary school all got lost in the woods in like Cool Park or something, and I found us out. I got out. I can't talk.
So they dug. Where did they dig?
They were digging in a cornfield in Prospect, which is halfway between Lake City and Johnsonsville. I don't know what that means, but I'm sure the Americans would understand. Okay.
Probably. A quarter of an Ireland.
Exactly. So, by dusk, there were three bodies found, and these included Bellamy's and Knight's. So, the two guys that Walter had seen.
Look, over Pee-wee there.
Kill. Yeah? So, two dozen lawmen combed the area for more graves, and by Saturday, three more bodies were located. The searchers borrowed a vapour-sensing device from Florida law enforcement agencies and kept looking. So the digging continued for 6 days and across for 3 miles, and searchers found the corpses of a woman and a child in shallow graves.
Is it bad that I was going to start singing fucking the song?
I knew you were going to. I fucking knew you were thinking of it.
A Star Is Born. I was going to say, in the shallow. Oh. But then I was like, that was very inappropriate because the child was involved.
So was like, shallow now.
It's true because they had been dug up, so you're not wrong.
Jesus Christ, that's grim.
Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with me today.
But the bodies that were found were belonging to Jesse Trudy, Johnny Sellers, Diane Neely, her boyfriend Avery Howard, who we didn't know the name of in the Savannah's episode, yes. Johnny Knight, Dennis Bellamy, Doreen Dempsey, and her small child.
Robin. Her daughter's name was Robin.
Instead of calling the small child, you know, dignify the child with a name that she was given.
The small baba.
On April 27th, 1976, Pee-wee and Walter Neely were charged with 8 counts of murder. On May 24th, 1976, a jury convicted Pee-wee of the murder of Dennis Bellamy and he was sentenced to death. In an attempt to avoid additional death sentences, he later confessed to 7 more murders.
I don't get the logic behind that.
It was the whole thing of like...
How do you avoid...
If you, do you know, it's the whole thing about each case guilty, has to be investigated then.
Oh yeah.
So okay. They have to go, fair like point. It's not treated as one giant case, so each victim has their own case, but then you're going to have to exhaust each appeal for each case, so that's why everything gets dragged out a lot longer then.
Oh my god, so then he would have gotten like what, there was 13 victims known, confirmed, and then 3 appeals per.
I think it's 7 or 8 so appeals 30. Usually is what you're
7 or 8?
7 or 8.
I thought it was 3.
No. Especially if it's something that's on debt roll.
I'm pretty sure you get as many as you want, like, until it's, unless it's like you did that shit, like.
No, there's definitely a number. It's 7 to 8. Because you
know there's a maximum number.
Because then it's like if you try again, like, well, you can't because all your appeals have been exhausted. If that was the case,
yeah,
you could always have reasonable doubt then as well. If you want to put it like that, if there was no limit on it, but there is.
Apparently there actually isn't.
Oh.
Sentence inmates were given 1 appeal. If the appeal was found to involve an important point of law, it was taken up to the House of Lords. What fucking they don't year
have,
was
no,
this?
No, but they don't have House of Lords. You're not...
No, this is somewhere different. Yeah. That's probably England California or something. Court. So this... Yeah, there's no numerical limit on the number of appeals a condemned person gets. First, there is a direct attack on the judgment, which goes to the California... I assume the CA Court of Appeals, so I assume California, and automatically to the Supreme Court, and beyond that then it goes above. So I think it can only go to a certain amount of places, so it's not the amount of appeals, it's the amount of people you appeal to.
I think I was watching that I'm a Killer.
I think it's 3.
Did you ever seen that? And your man was like, he'd exhausted 8 appeals. It's a fella that's on the main cover of it.
Was it maybe for, like, how many killers? Like, how many had he killed?
Two. Because he wasn't a serial killer. I think it was more of, like, a robbery.
Then he would have had, like,
a robbery went wrong. Like.
6 to 8. It could have been... it could have been that he had, like, 3 appeals that you can do, and then you can also appeal, like, false counsel or shit like that.
Yeah.
So I think it would depend on that.
That's true.
I had heard it was 3, that you'd only had 3. But that was from a real old-timey case that I did, that they only had 3 appeals that they could exhaust, and they exhausted all 3 of them.
Yeah, and it...
So we're just going to go...
It definitely depends,
between 3
like,
to 8.
It varies massively between states as well, like...
Yeah, you know. That's probably true.
But even at that, like, say that he's got 13 murders under his belt. Say it is only 3. That's 39 fucking appeals he can exhaust.
Yeah.
Isn't that insane?
Yeah, but the thing and is, like, I highly doubt, though, like, if he was convicted for, pretend the 3 of us. So if he was appealing Lizzie's case, but Savannah's case was going ahead. Like, I can't imagine they'd have to wait to kill him.
You can't appeal while you're being trialed.
No, I mean...
That's where you have to wait until you're found guilty of each one.
And then more mean, can he not be executed for a different crime before...
Not if he's currently being brought up on charges for a different crime, because then the way they kind of see it is that, like, they have, justice still has to be served in a way for, like, the family.
Yeah, I guess
that's so. All have to be proven, all have to be trialed, all have to be sentenced, and then you can start appealing from 1 to 13. So that's a fucking long ass time.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
Look at this. Look at the education we are giving out into the world today. Look at us.
So lucky to have us, honestly.
Honest
God. Because
we are obviously an educational podcast, not just... just having a laugh, pretending
Silver
to be bollocks and chaff.
Smart. Find us in the education category on Spotify.
Education hashtag on Instagram. Alrighty. So okay. So he confessed to the additional murders to try and save further deaths.
Yeah.
Sentences.
So
which, if you get one, why does it matter if you have 13? In fairness, as well, I have a lot of issues with this. We're just going to move on.
So. Pee-wee was tried on 8 charges of murder on May 24th, 1976. He was found guilty on May 28th, so just 4 days later, and was sentenced to death. This was later commuted into life in prison when the South Carolina General Assembly's 1974 ruling on capital punishment was changed to conform to the US Supreme Court guidelines for the death penalty in other states. So basically, they decided for that year... just in time for him, that the death penalty wouldn't be an option in South Carolina.
Yeah.
So he just managed to avoid being executed, and thanks to his reputation outside prison, his treatment inside prison was, you know, he was the big man yet again inside in prison.
Power man.
Yeah.
Go, go, power, Pee-wee!
In regards to Walter Neely, the jury found him to be mentally disabled and convicted him of all 8 murders, but gave him a life sentence instead of death.
So, that's the word!
Mentally disabled. Wait, did we not
we
try
did.
That one?
No! That wasn't even an option. No, it wasn't.
I said that.
Not once do I
remember. I think
you
did,
you.
But then you questioned yourself.
And then I wasn't sure
I was
if
like,
it was okay to say that.
But how are we charging a mentally disabled man with 8 counts of murder when he only bore witness to 2?
Same way they did with Jesse Miss Kelly, who didn't do any.
But he supposedly took part in the murder.
He supposedly
was
like...
It was more a case
crime.
Of he was probably like an accessory, like he knew about them and he didn't
but
do
for
anything.
Him,
yeah, but to get a life sentence.
Jesse was tried separately because he said that he didn't do anything. That was mainly Damien and what's his face? Jason. Do you remember he lied loads of times?
That's
and,
true.
And that was like 20 odd year later. Yeah. So I don't think times
still,
had changed.
Like, okay, fair enough. But it still should have just been 2 then. Because he was only accessory to 2.
Yeah. No, if anything that,
and
yeah.
And it would have been obstruction to justice for the other 6.
Yeah, if he'd known about them, yeah.
If he'd known about them.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
So, Pee-wee managed to avoid the death penalty. But... being the fucking genius that he is, he in 1982 committed another murder while in prison, for which he earned the title of the meanest man in America. So while he was incarcerated in the high security block at the South Carolina Correctional Institution, He killed a 24-year-old death row inmate named Rudolph Tyler.
A 20-foot death row inmate.
Fucking Titan over here, like, just bossing around the prison, like.
Na 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 na. Okay. Poor Rudolph.
So, Rudolph was in... Fuck Rudolph. Rudolph was imprisoned for...
Rudolph the 20-foot reindeer.
Killing an elderly couple. So, he killed the couple, Bill and Myrtle Moon, during a basically a bungled armed robbery of their store in Burgess. So, what I presume has happened is he went in, armed robbery, they probably put up too much of a fight and he killed them, like, in the heat of the moment that it, like, it went too far, like, etc.
Bought the gun to scare them kind of thing, but didn't expect to, like,
but then, the like, they fought back too much or something and it was just the whole thing.
Mm.
So...
I mean, it's America. They probably had their own guns as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
you know,
well, shoot or be shot. Not saying that, like, he was in the right or anything, because he was doing the robbing, so fuck him, but, like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the way it's saying, like, it's that it was a bungled armed robbery, it just implies that he hadn't he hadn't gone in intending to kill anyone, which makes him mildly better than Pee-wee.
He was...
At least it wasn't intentional
multiple
murder.
Not a multiple rape, it's like he can fucking split himself into like osmosis. What am I saying? Like, he had
many dicked
raped many a times and, you know,
yes,
did a lot more dodgy dealings than a fella that accidentally shot two old ones while he was trying to rob them.
Exactly. Not that we are being ageist and don't care about them because they were old.
We care
that's
about
not
old
it
people.
Either. But like,
we will be them ourselves. So why would we?
We've obviously very much had a nervous breakdown because of an old person today. Exactly. So there we go. Proof that we care.
So Tony Simo was, or is, I suppose, the son of Bill and Myrtle Moon. And he hired.
And is he still alive?
I don't know. It only happened in like the 70s, so I presume he probably is.
Well, it would be was because like his parents are dead.
Yeah, but that doesn't stop them being his parents.
No, I know that.
Like, they didn't put him up for adoption when
they
died.
Okay,
are you
matter.
Sure?
Tony Simo, possibly or maybe not dead or alive, we don't know. He hired Pee-wee to kill Rudolph in basically as revenge for killing his parents. Several unsuccessful attempts at killing Rudolph. So he started by lacing his food and drink with poison before... He ended up using explosives to blow him the fuck up. So I don't know, to be honest, first of all, what sort of poison he would have used. I'm presuming probably like rat poison or something. Like, it was hardly cyanide because there's no way you wouldn't kill someone.
Yeah.
Cyanide would have died straight away.
No. Definitely. Within like 30 seconds, I think.
Guards could have snuck him in something though either.
Yeah, but it would have had to, like... The fact that it didn't kill him must only have been,
it
mustn't have been much or mustn't have been strong. And I can't really figure out,
yeah,
like...
But if you're trying to smuggle something, I doubt you're going to, like, be carrying massive pounds of fucking poison.
It. Like, it'd probably be easier to bring in something like rat poison then because...
Yeah,
like,
that's
oh,
true.
Yeah, sure, we have a rat problem.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I'm not really sure, like, what sort of poison he would have used for it to be unsuccessful. So I'm not really sure... Like, did he even notice he was being poisoned?
Yeah.
Do you know? Like, did he feel any effects of it? Like, was he just sick? Or, you know, did it bother him at all? Or was it just a case of that
did
he just never knew he was being...
To be honest, it probably just gave him a dose of the squits. And then that was probably the extent of it.
In fact, from what I heard,
like,
I think that is exactly what happened. Is he just got the runs. Maybe they just,
I mean,
like...
They probably, like, wash. Like, don't, like, a sink.
Yeah.
They, like, hand cup it and then just like splash it on their hole.
Like a makeshift bidet. But I was more thinking that Rudolph was just there scooting like a dog with worms.
Ew, on the floor.
Yeah. I mean,
oh,
how else do you mark your territory?
That tear his arse to ribbons.
As much as the poison did, in fairness. So.
No, his arse would be like a chewed orange. Like, no way.
Can you imagine? The kind of violent... diarrhea you're going to get after what I can only assume was rat poison, because what other poison are you getting in prison? Going into your
you
food,
shit
you're
even
violently
it,
shitting it out. Exactly. You have the world's burniest, itchiest arsehole known to man anyway. That concrete probably felt like fucking magic. It's cold and it's scratchy. Just... arguing this like it actually happened.
Yeah. So... Rudolph has the shits, right? And Pee-wee gave him, basically, he called it a portable radio. So I'm picturing, like, basically, not an actual radio like we probably are imagining, but like a walkie-talkie, but like the fancy, like, police radio. You know, the ones that, like, have the little...
Oh, the shit that we call scanners.
Yeah, like a fancy walkie-talkie, like what the civil defence use, what the guards would use, those kind of ones. Like, they call them radios, but they're basically glorified walkie-talkies. But they work over radio lines, which is why... So he rigged up this radio in Rudolph's cell and told Rudolph that this would allow them to communicate between their cells. I presume Pee-wee and him had... their cells were pretty close for them to be able to be joined with a wire. But anyways, I'm not 100%, but I would presume so. So...
it was joined with a wire?
That's the way I kind of interpreted it. Maybe I'm wrong.
Why would you assume? If it was like a radio...
I thought it would be like... yeah, it would be like remote signal.
Okay. So Anna, cut that part out because I sound like a moron. So... Rudolph, when he followed Pee-wee's instructions... he held the radio up to his ear. This radio was laden with C4 plastic explosives, unbeknownst to Rudolph, obviously. And he was told he had to hold this to his ear at an agreed time, because this obviously was probably when they were going to have their conversation. Okay? As previously mentioned...
I thought his watch was like a minute fast. And it like...
oh my god.
I was thinking that, but then I was thinking they probably are on police... or not police, but on prison time. So that maybe there's like a communal clock or whatever.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, she wouldn't be allowed to have a watch.
Yeah, they probably have like, you know.
Man, it's 19 whatever. They managed to fucking sneak C4 in. I don't think an old fucking like £2 watch is going to make a difference.
Pee-wee was sucking the dick of all the fucking prison guards, so he's getting whatever he wanted.
We don't know your man wasn't.
Rudolph.
We don't know he wasn't to get
Rudolph
a watch.
Rudolph was black. He was black and he murdered two old white people. Do you think he was getting anything? Do you?
Who's to say he didn't take it off? Someone else could have had one.
I mayhaps. We'll give it a mayhaps.
And who has a communal clock in prison that all the fucking prisoners can see from their cells?
I said communal clock, but at the same time, I didn't really mean that. But like at the same time, they all do run on like, okay, at 6 o'clock we go for food. At this time we go for this. So like, maybe it wasn't exact like...
yeah, but that's hourly to like, notion it down to the exact minute. Like you're not psychic Sally like.
Maybe they know. Maybe there was like a fella in the cell next to Rudolph, and it was like, right. So when Big Larry flushes the toilet, we know it's 7 o'clock because he's had his afternoon.
They probably had fucking radio, so they can listen to like music and shit. So not the way they make like hourly like announcements for like the news, and they're like, hey, it's 6:30, and blah 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 blah.
True.
Yeah, so it's probably like after the 6 o'clock news or something.
Yeah,
minus the Angelus.
Why do we care?
During
so much?
The Angelus.
Why do we get fixated on these things?
I don't know.
During the Angelus.
So.
Dong.
As you had mentioned, Rudolph was probably feeling quite sick from the poison that didn't kill him, but also probably destroyed his bowels. And at this agreed time, he happened to be sitting on his toilet in his cell. And this booby-trapped radio exploded in his hands and blasted him off the toilet.
I just imagine him like flying through the air.
Was he just holding it, or did he already... he had it up to his head?
Was he going to try talk to somebody while he was taking a shit?
I mean, yeah, he probably was going to do it between...
I feel like that's the height of rudeness.
It is, it's gross.
But then no prison boundaries when you have to shit on a fucking open toilet for everyone who's walking by to see
true,
it.
True, we don't want the splash to echo through the phone.
He probably would wait
especially
until...
when it's someone that's not in your cell.
He'd probably wait until after the splash and before the next between splashes.
Yeah, like if you're pushing one out, well, not that he would have had to push, God bless him. But, like, you probably just don't press the radio.
Yeah,
in
but
his mind.
Actually,
sure
that makes
about
it worse.
This,
so if he had, like, liquid ass, like, that was churning.
Look, obviously he did not have the courtesy and decency that we would have... not to unleash our squirty holes
on the rest
of the world. The
thing is, as well, to think of it, is you don't know how Pee-wee approached him in regards to this. It could have been a case of, yeah, we can talk, but it could also have been a case of, make sure you're online at this time, or there'll be a problem. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because Pee-wee was Billy Big Bollocks inside prison. Like, you know, you don't know... like, Rudolph was only 24, do you know?
Yeah.
And he he wasn't a violent, well, he was violent. Oh my God, he was violent. But I mean, as in, he wasn't.
He supposedly wasn't the brightest bulb in the box either, was he?
Yeah, so that's the thing, do you know?
Anyways. Grieve it here first. All stupid people are violent, and you can take her for her word. She has said that verbatim.
Hot take.
So, Rudolf was in his cell and was basically on his radio at the time that Pee-wee had told him to be online. Online, I swear to God. On.
He's on Facebook Messenger.
He's like, hashtag scene. So,
come on Discord, Rudolf.
When the time came that Pee-wee knew that Rudolf was going to be online, he detonated the explosives from his cell. So I'm presuming he must have had them like rigged up in a specific way that like, if I tune in on this frequency or something, that they'd explode. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like, do you ever see the film The Longest Yard? Remember when they kill off Chris Rock's character? Your man, he did the okey, like, set up a trap through the radio. And when he was like tuning in or turning up the volume, the song started playing, but then the cell or the radio exploded. So it makes sense.
Pee-wee later said that the last thing Rudolf heard was me laughing. Which makes me think that like their cells must have been close enough. Or actually no.
Sure.
Maybe he tuned in on the radio and started screaming laughing down the fucking radio and detonated it.
Yeah, because I presume, and then it's like, oh, well, haha, fuck, he's after answering, like, this is going to work.
Yeah, that's, okay, so that's how C4 works. It has to be detonated by a shockwave, so the detonator is put in with the C4, and then he would have had, like, a boop, doomsday button. So, yeah, that's horrific. Like, he had all that rigged up, and then he was like, and then blew him up.
So, do you remember Tom Henderson from SLED? State Law Enforcement Division.
Tom Henderson.
He said he was not surprised whatsoever when he heard that Pee-wee was linked to the explosion on death row. Tom said, that sounded like it was right up Pee-wee's alley.
I mean, everything else was. A bit of C4 doesn't go a stretch.
Honest to God.
When Pee-wee was given his confession, he actually said he wished he had killed Tom.
Rude.
Tom just did his fucking job.
Yeah,
that's Pee-wee.
Just because you did yours poorly and got caught.
Tom had actually heard Pee-wee tell 12th Circuit solicitor Kenneth Summerford, who is now retired, by the way, if you care at all, that he...
Not one bit.
Pee-wee liked to keep dynamite on hand in case I wanted to blow somebody up. I always had people in mind, Pee-wee said. Yes, sir, I always keep people in mind. There were 3 or 4, he went on to say, that he'd consider blowing to smithereens, including his wife and mother-in-law. So this... Basically a fucking confession was like really fucking informative, and it showed that he knew how to detonate explosives with a fuse or battery, and he was tried for Rudolph's murder and was found guilty because obviously they fucking knew it was him. He had the matching radio, etc., blah blah, it was obviously him. So the death penalty had since been reinstated in 1978, so it was only basically illegal for 4 years, I'm pretty sure.
A small stint.
Yeah, a term of a presidency.
It was taken out in 1974 and brought back in 1978. Just in time for Pee-wee to be sentenced to death. So he was sentenced to death, and it was the first time in the history of South Carolina that a white man was sentenced to death for the murder of a black man. Which I think is fucking fabulous.
And should have been a lot earlier, but we'll take it.
About fucking time. Because it's not the first time it happened. No. That's for sure.
Oh my God, please. So, on death row, Pee-wee spent 15 months confessing his life of basically his day-to-day shit, where he was serial killing random people everywhere, to a journalist. And these memoirs from his autobiography called The Final Truth, he explained that he has had, since he got fried to a motherfucking crisp, bitch, a special mind that gave him permission to kill. And many of his claims, however, obviously were never verified, because I'd say 90% of it was just shy talk.
Lies.
Bullshit.
He obviously never once expressed any remorse for his actions. He never once felt bad about anything. He really had like this complex where he said, I have walked the same path as God by taking lives and making others afraid. I became God's equal. Through killing others, I became my own master. Through my own power, I come to my own redemption. All right.
You didn't really come to your own redemption because someone else is putting you to death. If you want to, like, say you came to your own redemption, one would imply you, like, don't suicide out. But that choice got physically taken away from you.
That implies that he had something to redeem himself from. Therefore, what did he think he needed to be redeemed from if he doesn't believe that he did anything wrong because he was acting like God? And does God do anything wrong? No. Not according to anyone who believes in the culture.
But also, like, so, I became my own master through my own power.
Master did he of stay? What?
He definitely lied in bed in his shitty little manky bunk bed trying to think, what would sound cool to say to this journalist tomorrow? What is this journalist tomorrow? What's he going to write down and what's going to sound cool as fuck when people read my cool book in like 20 or 30, 40 years?
But instead it's just like the Reddit bio of a skinny little fedora wearing.
He literally sounds like that Elliot Rodger fool. Like they're like,
I don't know if I'm getting quite incel off of Pee-wee.
Not incel. I'm just mean like the whole like I am the supreme gentleman. It's like using like these stupid words that don't mean anything.
Like I could see incels now taking that quote and be like, this is my quote, this is what I'm going to live by, I am my own master, I have achieved my own redemption.
Yeah, like I'm not saying he was an incel or anything. I can definitely see it. He very much was not celibate, but it's more a case of the same arrogance is what I'm trying to say.
It was everyone else that was involuntary, in fact.
Yeah.
But
while Pee-wee was talking to this journalist, he claimed to have committed at least 100 murders. One of these included that of Margaret Peg Cutno. I don't know how to say that. She was the 13-year-old daughter of the then South Carolina State Senator James Cutno Jr., who was from Sumter. So on December 18, 13-year-old Margaret Peg, she left her home in Sumter at about 1 o'clock in the afternoon to have lunch with her sister at school. After 45 minutes, she still never showed up, and her parents reported her missing. So she was found on December 30th, 10 miles away from where she was last seen. And during the forensic autopsy, it was determined that she had been beaten and suffocated to death. Between her being discovered and Pee-wee confessing to her murder, prosecutors had already charged and sentenced William Pierce to life in prison for her murder. They basically just said, listen, he's only doing it for attention. It was simply just for publicity and was an attempt to save his own life, so his confession was rejected. On top of confessing to her murder, he had begun confessing to other murders, which if true would have made him the worst serial killer in the history of South Carolina. But basically he was just making the effort to stay out of the electric chair, so that he was hoping that people would have to start trying him for all these things that weren't true. While he was talking to the journalist, they obviously discussed the fact that he was on death row and was going to be executed. And he said, I truly don't mind dying. I've lived a damn full and good life. A few hours before his execution, Pee-wee had a fucking brainwave and decided to delay his execution by slashing his own wrists. So he thought, if I try to kill myself, they won't.
While they're trying to kill me.
Yeah.
Like that's
so.
Like,
they just stitched him up and put him in the electric chair, or rather, he had to climb into the electric chair because it was too tall for him. So he had to climb into it.
Like a small child.
Did they give him a step stool? Do you reckon they gave him a step?
According
stool?
To was it Lizzie who said was that he had to climb up in it knees first.
Climb in it. Hoist himself around. Up, and shamefully plop down.
That brings me so much
joy.
So
at about 1 a.m. on 6th of September, Pee-wee was put in the electric chair, and by 5 past, he was dead. His quotes are to say, when they put me to death, I'll die remembering the freedom and pleasure of my life. I'll die knowing there are others coming along to take my place and that most of them will never get caught. His last words were, I'll let my lawyers talk for me. I'm ready to go. Those quotes I really hate, because that whole like I'll die knowing there are others coming along to take my place and most of them will never get
it's
caught.
It's so true though.
He's not wrong.
It's
that's the problem.
Completely, utterly true.
Wrong. Like,
and that's terrifying.
It's terrifying. It's actually such a worrying thought to wonder. Like, we have caught so many. Like, we, us personally, us
FB,
three,
back and I.
But like, there's so many been caught, but like, how many haven't? And how many fucking Henry Lee Lucases have we had where they're like, oh yeah, this fella was killing at the same time as when these people went missing, but it wasn't them at all. It was completely different serial killer.
Yeah.
But that's
no,
the thing.
I don't like that
there
thought at all.
There could be two or three serial killers in New York right now and nobody would even know, because if they're not using the same MO every time, if they're killing random people, if they're going after homeless people or like sex workers or something. Exactly. Where, like, who...
The ones that don't matter, according to the law.
Not even that, but more so that they don't have people that are, like, aware of their movements. So, like, if yeah, you... if
they won't try and look into how,
like,
they
they're not really,
either,
like, going home to anyone. And anyone they are going home to is probably someone who's in their line of work who probably wouldn't be taken serious by the guards if they were like, oh, she's missing. But it's like, well, she's probably working, do you know? So...
Yeah, like, occupational hazard.
Like, bastard. How many people... Oh my god, I was about to make a Twilight reference and I was like, I can't do that.
No.
In Eclipse, when there's like the vampire serial killer and like the people didn't really realise for ages that it was like vampires because they didn't realise that there was like the same MO every time for ages. I know it's a Twilight reference, but it gets
I'm
the
embarrassed
point
for you.
I have no regrets.
Not allowed. Cancelled. I cancel you officially. 2021 cancel culture.
So yeah, I actually as well... When I was reading through all these different forums and stuff, just kind of looking for little bits of info just to see discussion forums or whatever, there was one anonymous comment that I read and a lot of them sound like bullshit, right? But this one sounded legit, okay? So it was about the Martha Dix girl that Pee-wee killed, that they think might have been pregnant with his child. That she apparently was in love with him and he killed her when he found out she was pregnant or thought that she was pregnant.
I don't think she actually was.
She
I
wasn't.
Think she just made the joke about being
pregnant.
Yeah,
yeah, they don't think she was. But
and said that she was looking forward to have her own Pee-wee dicks. Because there is no way Martha ever would have let Pee-wee climb on top of her.
No, because this comment literally said, Martha Dix was a friend of my sister and lived three houses down from us. Her aunt was constantly at our house. Everybody called her Anne. I would never believe she had a crush on Gaskins. She was a known lesbian and was very attractive. She probably made fun of him, which I'm sure contributed to her demise. Gaskins finally got what he deserved. That monster is not burning in hell. He's asleep in his grave waiting for his true judgment.
I love that.
I really like it.
That is amazing.
So, as you said,
I like the idea that like hell isn't even good enough for him.
That he's just like rotten away. As he should.
100%.
Yeah, like she, for her to, as well to say like, you know, that she didn't think he had a crush on him because she was gorgeous and she was a known lesbian. She's also thought that maybe she was like either non-binary or trans, but wasn't out because she also went by the name of Clyde and some days she dressed very masculine. You know, at the time as well, that would have been unusual. So
yeah, definitely.
She says she really doesn't. Basically, she doesn't think that what they're saying about her is true. That she definitely was just called him.
She
called him a fucking fool or something.
With his
She was like, "Why would I ever get with you?" And he killed her for it, which is very on par for Pee-wee because everyone rejected him. Really.
Yeah, God forbid you piss the man off.
Except for his six wives, for some reason.
That's what I find.
I
maddening.
Mean, he groomed them though, and he obviously was probably going for really vulnerable people. Do you know?
But even the ones that he met, like in his early days. That were literally falling over heels for him.
Yeah. He was apparently extremely charming. That was the thing.
But those kind of... that's the same thing, though, that they were like, Ted Bundy was, like, so charming and, like, all this, you know? And he was very bad-looking, in my opinion. But they must have just had something about them, like, in person. Do you know?
Yeah.
There must have been something.
It's like... Not that I would ever find Pee-wee fucking Gaskins attractive, but like my thing of like a fella could be dog ugly, but if he's funny, beautiful to me.
Yeah.
And because the way he's so descriptive and how he like talks about like everything, do you know, I guarantee you he had people like busting their holes laughing or he was like very charismatic. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And because he didn't hit any of them as well.
He was apparently very sweet and very caring to all of his families, which is fucking wild as well.
Yeah.
Like, who wouldn't fall for a man who tells you that you make him feel like a rhino with a 4 foot long fucking erection?
I mean, so I only dream of a lad.
It's all we can hope for.
You know?
Quite frankly, very romantic. That those are the exact words that are used when I'm finally proposed to. It's just all I can hope for.
I mean, one can wish.
But now, thank Christ, Pee-wee is no longer... A rhino with a 4 foot erection. He is now 4 foot calamari, R.I.P. So that was Pee-wee Gaskins. That is the end of his reign as the meanest man in America.
He wasn't as fuck, I'm sorry.
No.
He wasn't like... Like, he was bad and he was gross and he was terrible, but he wasn't
like mean.
Worst,
I feel like mean is like reserved Because it's such a stupid word, but...
For 1940s New Yorkers gangsters.
Yeah, like, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I wouldn't even
mean,
like...
Mean man.
Yeah, mean gives off like... Well, maybe he was. I don't know. Mean kind of gives me like a spiteful kind of vibe or something.
See,
he
no,
was
I
just,
yeah.
like ruthless.
But he was a spiteful bitch though, wasn't he?
See,
yeah, he
mean
was.
To me, I always think of like playground bullshit. Do you know what I mean? Oh, you were so mean.
Yeah.
I find it such an unaffected
he's pulling
word.
My pigtails.
No, when I hear it, like when in regards to like killers, I'm like, I feel like it's a bad thing to be called.
I feel like
you're like the worst.
Well, they'd want to be called fucking mean if they're after murdering somebody. Jesus Christ, they're not going to call him angelic.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's such a childish word to describe something so
yeah.
horrendous. Mean. Do you know what I mean? It's just...
Yeah. It's not enough.
I'd call him a crafty fucker.
Yeah. So many other words.
But I suppose the craftiest man in America doesn't really have the same ring to it. And then you just imagine he does a lot of fucking like...
But mean just sounds so
paper mache and knitting.
I don't know.
Which, I mean, would have been a better story. It would have been a happier story, not a better story. It wouldn't have been that interesting for the podcast. But alas, here we are. So that was it. That's how he met his end.
Good enough for him.
Small man's fall from grace.
That's the one. I was thinking of small man's crispy biscuits. But look, we have different minds. Well, that was definitely a fun one. That's one
yeah.
of the more fun
lighthearted. Yeah,
though there was some horrendous shit in there.
Yeah.
But there was, yeah, there was a lot we could take the piss out of, so quite fun. Enjoyed that one. Definitely better than Dean Corll, because anything is.
That piece of shit.
I
feel like any time we talk about him, though, we like manifest him in a weird way, because any time we do, stupid, like weird
honestly,
shit happens.
All our technology instantly
so
starts
I feel like
to fail,
none
so I'm invite. Sorry I even mentioned him. Yeah, so that has been Pee Wee Gaskins, the final part, take two and take three in one go. We hope everyone enjoyed listening to it and enjoyed the satisfying crispy ending as much as we did. We will be back next week with a light-hearted episode and I look forward to finding out what that's going to be about as much as mm-hmm. you guys do, because it's a surprise for me. And then we'll be back with another heavy hitter series following that week. So stay with us, as always, for the next coming weeks. We have a lot in store for you. I don't have anything else to say, so I'm just going to shut up and remind you all to have positive vibes and negative tests and always be a hypocrite.
Don't forget to tense your ankles.
And join our cult.